that better?
Yes.
Okay. Well, as I say, I haven't liaised with Peter, so it may be a bit of to and fro with the slides, etc. So, carrying on in Colossians 2, last time when I was talking from Colossians, I just picked out two themes and talked about them. This time we're doing a romp through Colossians 2, okay? So just sort of, you know, put your seatbelts on and get ready. Colossians 2 is often used to talk about, there's a really famous line in it about putting off the old self and putting on the new. But that's not actually what I'm going to talk about this Sunday. I want to talk about identity theft, okay? Which is quite a modern thing that we think about, identity theft. Yeah, fine, that's okay. All right. And when I talk about identity theft, I'm talking about, most of Colossians 2 is talking about who we are in Christ. And the enemy can actually steal our identity. Okay? So I'm going from 8 to 20 something. 23. Going from 8 to 23. But I'm not going to read all of it in one go because it'll just wash over you. But if you want to look it up in your Bible, we're in Colossians 2, verse 8 to start with. The identity theft is not a word that could have been brought even maybe 20, 25 years ago, because it wasn't really a thing. I mean, I'm sure people did have their identity stolen, etc., but it's been something that's actually come up now. But in some ways, looking at Colossians, you can see it's actually been around a long time, because the enemy can take our identity in Christ. He can divert it. We're saved, that's not a problem. That doesn't happen. But the enemy can actually change our identity in Christ. So I'm going through, I think, about four or five things which talk about how we can hold on to our identity and not allow it to be stolen from us. And what it is about our identity in Christ that means that we can hang on to that, and that is the truth, and that it's not stolen and it's not diverted and it's not perverted by the enemy. So, slide one, okay, which is 2, 6 to 7. Does anybody feel the need? No, 6 or 7. Is there 6 and 7 on there? Sorry, it all got a bit pear-shaped this week. Can somebody read Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7? Sue's going to read it.
So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness.
Yeah. Rooted and built up in him. In him is used a lot in this chapter. Okay, we can have our identity stolen by the enemy if we lack knowledge of the truth. And I was thinking about seeds planted. Wendy planted some tomato seeds, and they didn't do very well. They grew loads because they grew about this tall, Wendy? About that tall?
What?
Your tomato seed, did they? Honestly.
Oh,
all right, okay. All right.
She's
all right, okay, it's true. All right, she planted these tomatoes, the seedlings. They were this big, and they had just two tiny leaves at the top. They didn't have the right conditions, so she brought them downstairs, put them by the patio windows, and they have, I don't know what the word is, bushed up. Is that the word sort of thing? Bushed up. They didn't have the right conditions. We need to be rooted and planted in Christ because that gives us the right conditions to develop. It's about knowing the truth. It's about knowing God's word. It's about keeping ourselves in him. And there's lots of verses in Colossians 2 where it talks about keeping ourselves in him. And I've just gone through three or four of them, which don't try and search for them. Where I've personalised them. And if you think about it, it's about They're the things that help us to keep our identity. So 2:7, I've changed to, I am rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as I was taught and overflowing with thankfulness. I am rooted and built up in him. 2:10 says, in Christ I have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. If I recognise that in Christ I have been brought to fullness and that he is the head over every power and authority, I am less likely to get my identity stolen. 2:12 says, I have been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. My identity is as someone who's been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith. 2:13, I have been made alive in Christ and I have been forgiven all my sins. Yes. Right? I have been made alive in Christ. Those are the things that my identity... So who are we in Christ? What is our identity? Our identity is somebody who is loved, who is accepted, who is in right relationships. Hopefully, this isn't always true with me. At peace, okay? Full of joy. We are hopeful. We are forgiven. We are victorious. And we are known. That's our identity. When we know what our identity in Christ is, we can go through challenges confident that our worth and value and significance is in him alone. Yeah? Everybody wants to know their worth, and they want to know their value, and they want to know their significance. And as long as we know that that is in Christ, it can't be taken away from us. Our identity is our inner self. It's the bit where we connect with God. It's our thoughts and our feelings and our ideas and our beliefs and our desires. Colossians 2, really, is telling us who we are so we don't have our identity robbed from us. We are, what's the phrase in fencing? On guard. Yeah, we're on guard. Enemy. But that's how I'm thinking about it anyway. So now we're on to 8 to 10. Brilliant. Okay. And this is about... does somebody want to read it? I can read it. Do you want to read it? Anybody want to read it? All right, Dawn's going to read it.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, will you read it is what I was saying. Can you read it from that distance?
Yes, I can.
All right, okay then, good then. You have to shout it out.
Yes. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority.
Thank you. So the second thing, first thing is about being rooted in the truth. The second thing is about deception. Our identity can be stolen when deception is happening. In this passage, Paul was actually warning the people about the Gnostics, right? I've tried looking up Gnosticism, right? I am absolutely prepared to be shot down in flames about this. I think it's belief in a supreme being, the monad, of whom they had special knowledge of spiritual matters. Anybody knows what Gnosticism is? Does that say? Anyway, it was a false teaching, basically. It was a false teaching that was around. But it did look a bit sort of Christian because it was about a supreme being and having special knowledge, but it wasn't. It wasn't the Jewish and Christian God. Probably never heard of Mandaeans, which is what you call modern day Gnostics, not probably something that trips off the tongue when you're looking at the news, etc. But we are surrounded today by false philosophies. You know, there's loads and loads of them around. And the really big one is relativism. My truth is equal to your truth, if not better than your truth. And you hear that a lot in the news and a lot of all the sorts of things that people get strident about today without going into any details. All of those things are saying, this is the 21st century. It is different now. It's new rules. It's a new era. It's new things, etc. And it is true. It is a new time. It is different. You know, like I said, you couldn't have your identity stolen online 30 odd years ago because there was no online, etc. But what doesn't change is God's truth. God's word doesn't change. The enemy is constantly trying to get us to believe lies, and that diminishes our identity in Christ. Sometimes by taking something that has some truth in it and then twisting it. The problem with deception is that you are deceived. And if you are deceived, the thing you're deceived about you see as being true. And the only way you can come against that and maintain your identity is being so certain of God's word and what God says about situations that you recognise when you're being deceived. Yeah? So that was the second thing. Next one. Who would like to read this one? Oh, thank you.
In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
Okay, so that's the one that's got that really famous bit in. Well, I think it's famous. I don't know whether I think it's famous because having done Freedom in Christ, etc., it's a big part of it, or whether it is just generally this thing about your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Putting off the old, putting on the new. Last week, we were celebrating Easter and Christ's victory on the cross. And Christ's victory on the cross has enabled us to be born again, to be in relationship with God, to be in relationship with Christ. When we accept Christ into our heart is put right with God. It means we should want to make the right choices, because doing what's right allows us and keeps us alive in God. So putting off your old self and putting on the new. We are dead to our old selves and we are resurrected with a new identity in Christ. We have to hang on to, at all times, all the things that Christ did for us on the cross. Because the enemy wants to divide us from that. He wants to take us down dirt tracks. He wants to take us into different directions. He wants to pervert the way that we see things. He wants to us to become so consumed with my rights, yeah, that we actually take our eyes off on what God is saying is right. We have to hang on to our identity. That was the second part of the first one. Sorry, could do the next one. Yeah, sorry. Problem of not having seen the slides, one gets left behind. Okay, 16 to 17. I'm going to read this one. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, 4 Easter eggs in 4 days? I think I deserve to be judged. Or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Because we were raised to a new life and a new identity with Christ, and because nothing has power over us, we belong to God. Our identity is secure in Him. Paul encourages us to find our freedom in Christ rather than to relate to God by obeying religious rules and regulations. Different churches you go to will have different ways of doing things. They are neither right nor wrong. They are just the different way that church does something. If the different way that church does something becomes more important than the word of God, then that isn't right. So keeping the letter of the law and feeling that I'm better than you because I prayed better than you, or I sing better than you, or I worship better than you, or I read my Bible more than you, is pride. Okay, it's pride, and pride is sin. We don't judge others. We come from a position of love, and it's about our relationship with Christ and knowing the gospel and knowing our scriptures and obeying Him, not just keeping the rules and regulations. We can get very caught up in those sorts of things, even in church, where it's the how rather than the why. With lots of things we have to look at, and we get very caught up in how we do things or how we approach things, when we should be looking at the why we are doing things. You know, what is the purpose of what we do? Why are we doing it? And we do, and people, we're actually going into the next series, is going in looking at spiritual pathways, and people connect with God in very different ways. Yeah, we have a very sort of, we have our own sort of liturgy because we have, you know, singing, notices, word, prayer, the table, etc. And we can get very caught up in the how we do things, whereas we need to just really focus on the why we are doing it. We are doing this because this happens to be a group of people who worship in this way. We do things in this way because we recognise, encourage and desire the work of the Holy Spirit. We do things in this way because the why are we doing it? And we keep our identity and prevent it being stolen when we stay close, when our reality is in Christ. Anybody going to help me out? Yes. Sorry. It's right.
Somebody else want to read.
John, no. You carry on. John, put his hand up. He can do the next one.
Right, John.
Yeah.
Do not let anyone who delights in God's unity and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed out with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow.
Okay. So the beginning of that passage, again, is looking about being puffed up, which we were talking about, and pride and things like that. But it's also talking about losing connection with the head, and the head is Christ. And that can mean that we're like, I don't know where it is, but there's a scripture that says we're like whitewashed tombs. Yeah, good on the outside but full of bones and decay on the inside. So impressing people, feeling superior, judging people, they're not They shouldn't be part of our identity if what we do isn't out of love. We need to love him, and we have allowed the enemy to distract and detract from our identity. We have to stay connected with the head, from whom the whole body, that's my body, the body in the terms of the church, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews. Some of mine are a bit creaky, but we are also held together as the body of Christ, and God causes it to grow. It's what holds us together. It holds us, our identity in him is what holds us together. Oh, I've run out of scripture. Sorry, John. I thought there was another one.
There is.
The other one up, Carol. Oh, right, okay. All right, sorry, John, that's because I'm right. John, carry on.
Since you died with Christ to the elemental spirit, spiritual force of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with the things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence.
Like we said, no degree of following man-made laws has the ability to restrain our fleshly desires. Only love for God and appreciation for all he has done for us in Christ will provoke us to use our self-control and empower us to choose to walk in the Spirit rather than the flesh. If we can hold on to the things in Colossians, staying in Christ, we will not lose our identity in him. The enemy can't steal our salvation. We don't have to worry about that. But he can steal and distract our identity. Why is that important? Because if he steals our identity, we are not all that we can be. We are not all that God desires us to be. We are not all that he saved us to be. It's not that we have to do good works. It's not that we have to earn our way into heaven. But we are not all that we could be. We are not all that he wants us to be. We have bits of our personality, bits of our identity that we have allowed the enemy to just push to one side or take over or divert us away from. And so we are not fully living as with our total identity in Christ. So Colossians 2 teaches us that we need to be rooted in him. We need to know the truth. We need to understand our place in Christ's victory and resurrection. We need to stay connected to him. We need to be on guard against deception and our earthly desires, and we need to practice self-control. If we can do these things, we will not suffer identity theft by the enemy. We will know who we are in Christ. Rooted in him, know the truth, understand our place in Christ's victory and resurrection, stay connected to him, guard against deception and our earthly desires, practice self-control. We won't suffer from identity theft. Together, we will know who we are in Christ. Amen. Just going to pray. Father, we know that sometimes our walk isn't easy. We know, especially having read Anna's book, that around the world there are Christians who are really struggling and really suffering. But Father, we pray that for all of us, you will enable us to stay connected, deeply rooted in you, knowing the truth, and through that we will know exactly who we are in you, and our identity in you will be more important than our identity that the world sees. Amen.
Amen.
If for any reason you wanted to do some more stuff on this, in the past I've done Freedom in Christ and better versions of me, and I'm more than happy to run that again if that struck any chords with anybody. You know, I know you've done it, some of you have done it before. There is not a limit on how many times you have to do it, given that every time I do it with other people, I'm there secretly writing in my books some things that have come up for me as well. So just want to say, okay. Teas, coffees.